1 John chapter 1, verse 4, when you get there, let's stand. Brother Jackie came over to the house today, and he was talking about, well, last week he preached about the thorn. I said, well, tonight we're taking a test. He said, oh, no. I want to preach a little while, and I guess that would be my title. Let us take a test. Amen. 1 John chapter 1, if you're there, say amen. Look at verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. All right, go to chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 13. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. The word right there, know, it can be translated to realize, that you may realize and know that you have eternal life. The question is tonight, do you know you're saved? How do you know you're saved? Because you went down to an altar one time and prayed a prayer? Well, how do you know you're saved? If somebody cornered you in Walmart, said, tell me how you know you saved. What kind of answer would you give them? Well, hopefully after tonight, we have a little better answer. Let's pray. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask your hand to be upon us right now. God, I know, Lord, I need you tonight. Lord, I know I am nothing. God, I know that you are everything. And God, I pray right now, Lord, you'd help us, Lord, to take this little test tonight, God. And God, whatever's done, Lord, tonight, help us to honor you. Help us to glorify you, God. And Lord, help us to have a better answer, God, when we go out, Lord, that we can know that we know that we know that we're saved, God. Have your hand on us right now, Lord. Make the preaching easy. And we'll love you and honor and give you glory for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The early church had been birthed in power. I'm talking about when the early church come on the scene, I mean, things were happening. You go back and look at the book of Acts and find out, I mean, thousands were being saved at one time. Peter preaching, thousands being saved. Peter and John going into the temple and a man begging alms, and they get up and they pray for him. He stands up and leaps and prays. I mean, people being saved, people being healed. But it don't take long for false teaching to come in. One of them was known as Gnosticism. Now, there are many versions of Gnosticism, but the primary area of Gnosticism was that the knowledge, not the cross, was the means to salvation. In other words, you had to be imparted with a special knowledge to be saved. They believed that special knowledge alone, that one possessed, that was all you needed to be saved. They also believed that all matter was evil. In other words, they believed that this flesh was evil. And we realize that, but they believed that all matter was evil. Now, this meant that Jesus Christ did not really have a flesh and blood body. This is what they taught. That all matter was evil, and even Christ could not have a physical body because matter was evil. It only appeared that he had died. Some did not believe that Jesus died, but that the Spirit of Christ left him before the cross. This, of course, eliminates the cross and eliminates the resurrection, and we know that is the basis of our salvation. Amen. They believed that the body could be allowed to do as it pleased because all matter was evil, and that the body and spirit were separated from each other. Now, let me just say this. There's a lot of folks in church today that kind of believe this. Not necessarily saying that they believe that all matter is evil and that they believe that like the agnostics or the Gnosticism did, but there's a lot of people that they believe that, you know, as long as I went down to an altar when I was 6 years old and asked God to forgive me, I can go out and do anything I want to and I'm saved. That is totally against what the Bible says. I don't have a problem with somebody believing in eternal security. I do not. If a person wants to believe in eternal security, have at it. I don't have a problem. I know we only get saved one time. I understand that. And I, you know, the problem is, if you break it down, most people that say they believe in eternal security will believe just like you and I believe. I just believe you got to live right. Amen? I believe you got to live right. We're going to make mistakes. We all know that. Now, as these teachings began to filter their way into the church, some people, it started undermining the faith of some people. And John writes these letters to help people to realize and to know how they believe and why they believe and what they believe. Now, like I said, we're going to take a little test. You're going to have to grade your own paper. How many of y'all remember doing that in school? Guess what? You ain't going to cheat tonight. Jamie said he always passed them. I'm just going to be honest with you. I cheated most of the time. I ain't always been saved. I told you that. But we're going to take a little test tonight, and this is going to come in sections, so I want you to just kind of follow along in your Bible. If you have your Bible, let's go to 1 John chapter 2. There is a commandment section to this test of you being a Christian. There is a commandment section. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 says this, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." Hello. "He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abide in him ought to himself also to walk even as he walked." Simply stated, the person who is saved will have a desire to walk in obedience to what the word of God says. It's a commandment. I'm just being honest. John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." That means that, I mean, listen, the Bible is clear on adultery. You cannot live in adultery and be a Christian. You cannot be a drunkard and be a Christian. You cannot do the things of the world and be a Christian. Those are commandments. So, this is the commandment section. The redeemed individual will receive the word of God, and he will conform his life to the word of God. Okay? The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." In other words, when I stand up or somebody stands up and preaches the word of God, you know it's the word of God because the Spirit starts bearing witness with you. We know that we're supposed to conform to this Bible. How many times have you come to church and you were doing something? I'm talking about when you first got saved. You were doing something or you were living in a certain way, and the preacher got up, opened up a King James Bible, and preached to you about something that was going on in your life, and you realize, hey, that Bible ain't gonna change, so if anybody's gonna change, it's gonna have to be me. Amen. That means we will conform to the word of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 says this, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous." The saved person, now listen, the saved person will experience joy in their life when the commandments are presented to them. The Bible says that they're not grievous. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. There's a lot of things over the years, Brother Robert, that I had to check up on. I'm just going, I'd go to church that the preacher would preach. I'd say, hey, I got to quit doing that. Hey, I need to do better in this area. Hey, I need to do better in that area. That's what that is talking about. Amen. They're not grievous to us. It's a joy. When God said it's not grievous, that means it'll be a delight or a pleasure. Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." In other words, you are blessed, you are happy when we line up with the word of God, when we line up with the commandments. Amen. So how'd you do on that section? Everybody got a check on that section? You're grading yourself now. Let's look at the commandment section. Now, y'all know how this goes. It gets a little tougher as we go on. Let's look at the compassion section. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. A genuine believer will always be marked by true love for other believers and other brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me ask you a question. How are you getting along with everybody else? Is there anybody that you need to be forgiven? The Bible says if we have aught one against another, we're to go to that person. The Bible, if I got an aught against Brother Robert, I ain't got no business talking to Skip. I ain't got no business talking to Jackie. I ain't got no business talking to Brother Donald Boone. If I got an aught against Brother Robert, I need to be calling Brother Robert. The Bible says true believers will love one another. There is nothing that you and I can't work out if both of us are saved. You know what blows my mind? What blows my mind is have people in church that say they are Christian and love the Lord and wind up getting a divorce. Somebody's lying. People fall out, quit church, go somewhere else because they couldn't get along with somebody. Somebody's lying. Somebody don't love the Lord. This is the compassion section. Amen. A person who displays no love for the redeemed child is not saved. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. But whoso hateth this world's good, whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up the bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither but in tongue, but in deed and in truth. True compassion not only sees, it does. Let me go back on. But whosoever hath this world's goods, in other words, whosoever's got goods, whosoever's got plenty, whosoever's got stuff to help somebody with, and sees his brother have a need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. In other words, they see that somebody's got a need, Brother Jackie. They know somebody's got a need. And the Bible says, and they shut up the bowels of compassion. In other words, the compassion's there. It's that, Brother Mike, it's there to help. And they close the door on it. How dwelleth the love of God in? In other words, how in the world can God love be dwelling in somebody like that? It don't. 1 John chapter 4, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. True believers will love the family of God. I don't have to agree with everybody on everything, but if they're a Christian and they're living right and they're doing their very best to live like the Bible says live, then it's my duty to love them. Now, I have heard some, I'm going to write me a book one day, stupid stuff I hear in church. That'd be a bestseller. Well, the Bible says I got to love them, but I ain't got to like them. Oh, is that right? How are we doing on this next section here? Everybody's passing so far with flying colors, right? Listen, it's simple. Follow his commandments and have the compassion that Jesus had. It's real easy to preach. It's real easy to talk about. It's a whole lot harder to do it. Amen. But we need to be doing our very best. We need to be striving to do better. Let's look at the Christ-like section. 1 John chapter 3. Whoso committeth sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. These verses reveal the truth about how a genuine believer is to live differently than the world. Now listen, I know we cannot be perfect. There's absolutely no way for us to be perfect. And I'm trying not to jump ahead of myself. But you cannot be saved and have no problem with sin. Preacher Earl Hanna told me one time, he said, until you learn to hate sin, you'll do it. And that's the thing. A true believer will hate sin, even though it might be sin, Skip, even though it might be a sin that me and you do. But you'll hate it. Like I preached last week, you'll hate it because it hurts you and it hurts God and it breaks your heart that you break in the heart of God. That's where we are different from the world. Anybody that's going to church, got their name on the church roll, and they can run to the beer joint with everybody else, and they can cuss like a sailor with everybody else, and they can do the things that the world's doing like everybody else, they ain't saved. I'm just telling you. I ain't running to the bar room. I'm gonna do my very best not to cuss like everybody else. I'm supposed to be different. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When I got saved, I tried my best to kill the old man. I tried my best to destroy the old man. Every once in a while, Brother Robert, he comes back. But you know what? I ain't been to a nightclub since I got saved. You know what? I ain't drank a beer since I got saved. I wish I could say that I hadn't sinned since I got saved. But a lot of that stuff that the old man did, I killed it. Amen? Me and Jesus killed it. I ain't nowhere close to what I want to be. But glory to God, I ain't nowhere close to what I used to be either. I believe we ought to strive to be Christ-like. You cannot have habitual sin in your life and be a Christian. And we know we're gonna make mistakes. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 through 10 tells us that. Said, if you say you have no sin, you make him a liar. The Christ-like. Now let's look at the companion section, and I'll be coming to a close shortly. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us his Spirit. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel him inside? I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. When you got saved, you got all you're going to get. Amen. I believe at the point of salvation, when we crucified the old man, the Holy Spirit moved in. And I'm telling you right now, you want to get him bigger in your life, then you give him more of you and take less of you. That's how that people say, I want all the Holy Ghost I can get. You already got all you're going to get. But you can make him grow, amen. You can make him get bigger at the end. So I'm telling you, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink one spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in our hearts. He gives us that assurance. It leads us. It convicts us. When you do something wrong, that's that inner voice. That ain't the devil ain't going to tell you not to call somebody. The devil ain't going to tell you not to sin. The devil's going to push you to it. But there's somebody on the inside telling you, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. That's the Holy Spirit. That ain't your conscience. Me and Dallas were talking about this. The Bible talks about how the heart is deceitfully wicked above everything. I'm telling you, my conscience will get me in trouble. Amen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, for the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. That's one reason you know you're saved. I know I'm saved because he's dwelling on the inside of me. I know I'm saved because I feel him on the inside. When I wake up in the morning, I feel him. When I go to bed at night, I feel him. Amen. All throughout the day, he's talking to me. He's communicating with me. He's leading me. He's convicting me. That's one of the reasons I know I'm saved. Now, the commitment section. 1 John chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. The true believer knows that all we can do is trust in Jesus. Amen. I can't trust in my knowledge like I was talking about Gnosticism. I can't. I'm telling you right now. When I start trusting in my knowledge, I start trusting in what I do, I start trusting in the thing, and I want to lead, I'm telling you right now, I get in trouble. Like Sister Brenda sung that song, I can't even walk without him holding my hand. We know, true believers know. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. How'd you get saved? By calling on Jesus. I didn't have to have some kind of special notebook. I didn't have to have some kind of professor with a law degree or some kind of theological degree to come down and tell me I was saved. Glory to God. It took a King James Bible-toting preacher that didn't even have a high school education. He opened up a red-letter King James Bible, and I got on an altar, and I got saved. Ain't nothing wrong with education. Ain't nothing wrong with theology. Ain't nothing wrong with all that. All that's good in its place. But I'm telling you right now, the basics of salvation is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am committed tonight to know that Jesus is the only way. First John chapter 5. Verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. For this is the witness of God which hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. What are you trusting in tonight to get you to heaven? Are you trusting in a prayer that you said when you were 6 years old? Then I'm telling you, you're in trouble. Are you trusting in a feeling that you have when you come down on an altar? I'm telling you, you're in trouble. Are you trusting in what mama said or what grandmama said? Are you trusting in what a preacher said? You better be trusting in what the Word of God said. Hey, if we confess our mouth, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Amen. You better be trusting in how the Bible said get saved. If all you did was come down to an altar, shake somebody's hand, go in the back and fill out a paper, I'm telling you right now, I doubt your salvation. We're trusting in Jesus. Thing about it is, you know, when we take these tests, how many of y'all remember taking these tests in school? At the end of the year or whatever, they give you them tests to kind of see where you were? I always hated them things. Let me ask you a question. How are you tonight? Do you have compassion? Do you have forgiveness? Are you keeping the commandments? Are you trying to live Christ-like? If you got a check beside all them, you're doing pretty good. If you got a check beside all them, you ought to just come on down to this altar and just praise him. But see, the thing about this test, this ain't like reading, writing, and arithmetic. With this test, to be a Christian, you got to have all the boxes checked. If you got one box that ain't checked, you better check up. Well, I'm living Christ-like, and I'm coming to church, and I've tried to help other people, but there's just one person in church that I just cannot get over. Guess what? That box ain't checked. Folks, I'm just being honest. Thing about it is, you know, we can have compassion and forgiveness and have unconfessed sin in our life, and that box ain't checked. How is it with you? You know, this is like when, you know, Jamie kind of said, and I said when we first started, Jamie said, I always pass them kind. I'm just telling you right now, this test tonight will get real with you. Matt, come sing He Walked Every Mile. Let me ask you a question. Is there anything you need to pray about tonight? Anything you need to pray about tonight? If you would, let's stand.